This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith, courts one into right, down the line, it may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006!
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team! What a ride! The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of Bow Ties and Bullshit, your two birds on a bat podcast, brought to you by our good friends at InnovativeCompanies.com. I want to thank Randy Green and his daughter Stephanie for their continued support of our show. We greatly appreciate all they do for us and the community. So remember, if you're a first responder or military, you receive a 15% discount off your total project cost. Happy to have numerous people out there take advantage of that and speak glowingly of such great people. They're residential, commercial, or industrial. Construction, heating and cooling, and electric, ready to take care of you. That's my good friend Randy Green at Innovative Companies. As always, coming to you from the Patio Studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. Pre or post game, it's Patio's. Was looking at some stuff. Let's face it. We're getting into a time now of like, what else can we talk about? I mean, social media is flooded with numerous things all the time. People arguing about this, that, or the other thing. I'll say this. We can talk about it all day long, like what if we think that this is right or wrong, or should there be baseball, should there not be baseball, who's this, who's that. But it's time to have a little bit of fun. And there's no doubt that great moments in Cardinal history is always fun. This, I think, is a topic that everybody enjoys. And the reason for it is exactly, I texted Mo's Algorithm and Kyle, our two great esteemed members of the panel, that we were going to talk about this today. And the best part of the deal is, on cue, Kyle didn't, but Mo did, sent me back a reply question that is the exact reason why I think this is such a great topic. And that topic is the Mount Rushmore of Cardinal baseball. And you see this from time to time, and it always turns into an argument, right? Like, people can't help themselves. They have to be right. Like, you're wrong, I'm right. People can't help themselves. But in the end, the truth is, I sent this, and the first thing I get back from Mo, and I understand it. I'm not ripping on Mo at all. I get it. I think it really lends itself into why this is a fun topic. Is the first thing I get back from Mo is all time or during our lives. And I said to him, well, now that's the fun of it. It's your Mount Rushmore. So again, if somebody out there wants to do a show and say, what's the exact Mount Rushmore of Cardinal history? Knock yourself out. Knock yourself out. Like, we can argue over that all day long and go back and forth. And I don't know if anybody's ever going to be right. The fun part of this is, who's your Mount Rushmore? And there's a varying amount of reasons. And I love that discussion of why it's important to you. Tom Lawless might be on your Mount Rushmore of Cardinals because you were there the night he hit a home run and had the most and was the original bat flipper. I mean, who knows, right? So let's have some fun with this. I'm really curious to get our panel's discussion or talking points on this. Let's start off with a guy that his Cardinal Mount Rushmore might be the four most overrated or overhyped prospects, or the four most underrated prospects. But no, we'll do that for another day. I want to know who he thinks are his four favorites. Let's welcome in Kyle Reese. What's going on, buddy?
Hey there, Jim. How are you?
Fun topic. It's fun topic time. I I don't know about you, but I was saying, and I think you were on at the beginning. This conversation a lot of times will turn bad. I want everybody listening. This is not the argument conversation. This is the fun one. Who is your Mount Rushmore of Cardinals? I'd like to know who they are. I'd like to know why they're on there for you. And then if you want to throw on a couple honorable mentions, or you want to say, I think most people would think this guy would be on, but this is why he's not. But why don't you go ahead and let's just go ahead and give me your thoughts. First off, let's do this.
Yeah.
What's your opinion on the whole Mount Rushmore thing? Because I do find that the only thing that bothers me is when people start acting like they're right and you're wrong.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be 100% honest, and I'm going to try. I'm not going to be able to censor myself today. I'm at work. I've been working nonstop. I think it's the dumbest fucking conversation on the face of the fucking earth. I hate it. As a matter of fact, when you texted me, I had a half a second to even look at my phone. And when I saw today's topic is Cardinals Mount Rushmore, my first honest God thought was, all right, I'm not going to take part in today's conversation. And then my second thought was, oh boy, this is where we are at right now. Like, this is how bad things have gotten, that there aren't any other topics other than this. Now, I give you credit. I give you a lot of credit because you're doing it the right way. Just four things about the Cardinals that maybe are the most important to you. And that's fun. Like, that's the fun way to do that. But the whole Mount Rushmore conversation is the dumbest fucking thing imaginable. Even if you were to do the Mount Rushmore of your own lifetime, just think about how baseball – I'm 33 years old. I was born in 1986. Just think about how baseball's changed. Like, you could even break the steroid era into two different eras, like two subsets of era. That changes the dynamic of what baseball was. I'll be honest. When I was like, all right, just fucking do it, whatever. You know, you love Jim. You love the two birds on the bat family. You love Mo's algorithm. You love the audience. Just do it. My first thought was, who are like the four people that make me laugh the most as a Cardinal fan? Like, just their names when I think about them is like, Jesus, those fucking guys. And it was like, my first four were like, all right, Brian Barton, Jeremy Hazelbaker, and I couldn't even think of a fourth. Hector Luna came to my mind, but that's not even real. Maybe like Miguel Cairo. There, my Mount Rushmore of Cardinal baseball is two guys who basically have the same name but don't. Jeremy Hazelbaker and Miguel Cairo. And that's my Cardinal fandom.
Well, okay. So you've taken it on the complete other side. So let me ask this question then. Has it been ruined for you because of the way people approach it? Or do you just think it's just like it's a silly question because it's just too hard to answer?
No, it's not even a matter of it being hard to answer. I just think it's so arbitrary. It's one of those things that are so arbitrary. But people are searching for the definite, and there isn't. It's an abstract thought. It's an abstract idea. You know, you sure, if you want to quantify the greatest, you can go to war. You can say these are the four best by war, their value. Sure, I get that. That's boring. I don't care about that. And, of course, it ignores era from which a player played. Maybe it's just the fact that, you know, when you're young and you're listening to sports talk radio, every week there's a new Mount Rushmore. And it's almost comical now, like, I'm a fan of a show locally called The Morning After with Jim of the Cat Hayes and Doug Vaughn and Tim McKernan. And I felt this way, and this is part of the reason why I love them. And I felt this way before I started listening to them. And, you know, they've been on the radio for like 15 years in some capacity. But it's like they make fun of it now. It's like, give me your top four, your Mount Rushmore of French fries. Give me your Mount Rushmore of.
I love it. You know, see, yeah. I like it. Now, here's the thing. Now, here's the thing, though. On that note, okay, so this is what I think is funny and interesting. If you want to, like, and this is where I was glad it went. So let's look at, for starters, let's look at what Mount Rushmore is, right? Like, it's this awesome monument, right?
Yeah.
Sculpted, you know, out of the mount. Like, it's just an awesome thing, right? But I always say, and I used to, you know, and I would say this all the time and was too lazy to look it up. Why George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt, Abraham Lincoln? Why those four? Now, it's in the eye of the beholder, right? So to them, they were chosen. If you look it up, they were chosen to represent the nation's birth, growth, development, and preservation, respectively.
Yeah.
Great. That's awesome. Okay. So again, I promise you, okay, somebody else could have done this. And, you know, I'm on here now. So I think it's, you know, it's like, you know, the guys that did it, what an amazing thing, right? Like it even says on here who did it. And you know, there's a Doan Robinson was created with conceiving the idea, right? So the problem is if Kyle Reese was to go and do a real Mount Rushmore now, using the same criteria, you might pick four totally different people. So,
oh God, yeah, no, I'd put Caden Cross up there, Jenny Lee, probably Lily Love, and I don't even know, just a sporting board, maybe an orgy of another three or four girls getting after it.
So that's the thing, right? Like, so that's why we need to have fun with this. So, like, I knew you would, like, I had this feeling you would be like, you know what? Like, I thought, well, there was a part of me that was like, you were going to be like, this is so played and so, and people take this to a really bad place. I don't even want to be involved in this conversation. I'm glad you took it to a fun place. And I do want to talk more about that. Before we do, I just want to remind everybody, check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. When you get there, click subscribe to the podcast. It's free. Takes about 30 seconds. Find us on our social media platforms at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. Please follow us there. Find us on Facebook by typing in Two Birds on a Bat. We're going to ask you to like the page. The pin post is always our latest show. If you would like it, comment on it and share it. That helps us reach more Cardinal fans, and we do appreciate it. Instagram is Two Birds on a Bat Show, and of course at lineupmediagroup.fm, home of your radio streaming platform for your mobile device. Don't forget the partners that help keep our show rolling. Adam's Smokehouse, currently closed due to the pandemic. Opening soon, I hope. And when they do open, I want us to have a line around the block. Please don't forget them. Located on Watson Road. Stay tuned. We'll be one of the first ones out there tooting their horn, saying, hey, they're going to be back open. Let's flood the place. Get in there and try some of that great barbecue. That's Adam's Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. Same thing with my good friend, Dr. Kristen Jacobs. DrKristenJacobs.com. Learn more about her and all the great things that she's doing. Still out there. I see her on social media every day trying to help people, trying to get them through this. Remember, every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day. Take care of your skin. She does encourage everybody to get outside and enjoy the weather, but make sure you're taking care of your skin. That's DrKristenJacobs.com. And, of course, my friends at GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Learn more about their four-pillar system located in Missouri and Illinois. I would highly encourage everybody to get on there and learn more about the baseball stuff that they're doing. You can learn a lot about the program and what they're doing and how they're doing it and what they're all about on Monday nights by tuning into their Facebook page, Gators Baseball Academy, for Gators Baseball Academy TV. It's about an hour-long show that's on every Monday night at 7 o'clock, Facebook Live. You guys will enjoy it. Good guests. I happen to know the host. Decent guy. And I think you guys would enjoy it and learn a little bit about their program. And even if you're not involved in that program, want to see what's going on in the world of baseball, both behind the scenes and right up on top of it, you can learn a lot there. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Okay, so would you like to discuss your four guys and why those are the four? Like, here's the thing. You could have picked four of any trivial guy. Why those four?
So, believe it or not, Brian Barton, the two Brian Barton and Jeremy Haysbaker, I was just thinking about spring training.
Right.
You know, all three of those guys had an amazing spring training, and then all three of them got off to amazing April. They all had, like, standout Aprils that, I mean, Brian Barton was like the Barden, the third baseman, the white fella. He was the third baseman, and he was like NL Rookie of the Month, or he might have been NL Player of the Month in April in his debut with the Cardinals. And then I was thinking about Jeremy Haysbaker and how amazing he was.
Remember when we got rid of him, the outcrying of, oh, my God. Remember that?
Yeah, we're stupid. We are very stupid fans.
I mean, it is – I don't know that we're stupid as much as, I mean, you know, we're passionate. We're passionate. Brian Barton. There's a name I haven't heard in a while. Looks like he's coaching these days. There's some great, like, this goes right into what I've asked 100,000 times of everybody when we start talking about all these, trades. Right, for all these guys, and we always, oh, you can't trade this guy, and you can't trade this guy, and I say 1,000 times over, please, please tell me, who are all these guys that we've traded that have come back and have been all-stars, you know?
Yeah.
Was he in the Mark DeRosa trade?
You know, I don't know how, I thought Jeremy Haysbaker, they tried to pass through waiver. And,
no, I'm talking about Barton. I'm starting with Barton.
Oh man, no. So Mark DeRosa would have been what the fuck is his name? Chris Perez and
that's right. Okay.
And I don't remember who else.
They bought. Okay. Yep. You're right. Because I liked Chris Perez. I thought he was going to be a good closer.
Yeah, he lost his mind, too. Yeah. Little musical interlude. I can get behind that, too. Yeah, I don't remember. Hazel Baker, I could have swore they tried to pass their waivers. I thought Barton was the same thing. And I know Brian Barton hung around for a little bit. But, you know, he was a Rule 5 pick and spent the entire year with the Cardinals. And then I want to say for another year, or year and a half, you fluctuated up and down between the minor leagues. He was one of those geniuses, the Brian Barton, B-A-R-T-O-N. He went to, like, Harvard or some crazy shit like that, and he was, like, really smart.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so Brian Barton was the guy. You're right. He basically started off, like, fire, and then that was a Tony La Russa wanting a veteran, so he went out and got Mark DeRosa. And then that's one of those deals where Brian Barton goes away and you never hear from him again, and he never duplicates, you know, kind of that repeat of, boy, it looks like he might be a player. Now, Brian Barton, now on the other hand, the B-A-R-T-O-N, is a guy, they traded him for Blaine Boyer. Remember him?
Oh, wow, yeah, Blaine Boyer, who, after, you know, it was to Atlanta, and he was terrible for Atlanta, and it was terrible for the Cardinals, and then actually carved himself out a nice little career, I think as a reliever, like somewhat swingman, after his time with the Cardinals.
Yeah, he was one of those guys. So, interesting two guys. You said Hector Luna?
Oh, I was fucking around with Hector Luna, but then I said Miguel Cairo.
Okay.
And honestly, if you want to repeat that beautiful, like, what it should be is it should be Brian Barton, Jeremy Hazelbreaker, and Eric Fryer. It should be those four. Those four will be lumped together in my head forever.
Didn't Eric Fryer hit like 500 for a little while or something?
I'm pretty sure he got a hit in 97 straight at bat.
And I mean to tell you, we had to resign. I mean, boy, we fall in love with guys quick, don't we?
Yeah. Not only do we fall in love with them quick, but we're ready to cast those sons of bitches into the sun as soon as possible, too. It's a roller coaster.
You know who I'm afraid is that guy, right? Who's the current guy on the roster right now that is that guy for you? I know who it is, and it's an easy one. The guy on this roster that's easy is Wieters. I mean,
yeah.
Cardinal fans right now think, how in the world did we get this guy?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I mean, you know, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. You know, you may want to go look at it, you know, like his career.
The good news with Wieters is unless Yadi gets hurt, he'll never play, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
The first guy that came to my mind, and, you know, just thinking about the 40-man roster, guys on the 40-man, like, I thought someone like Justin Williams could be that. Because, honestly, there's a lot of things about Jeremy Hazelbaker, now that I think about it, just like stature, build-wise, swing-wise, that make me think of Jeremy Hazelbaker. Like, I could see Justin Williams coming up to the major leagues, having a great spring training, having a great April, and everybody being like, that guy has to start every day. And then, like, maybe 2.5 months later being like, get that fucking guy out of the lineup. What the hell is going on? Like, that's what I imagine happening.
I mean, have you ever in your life ever seen people lose their minds over a guy, the couple of things, every time he would do something not in a Cardinal uniform that year after, like, than Jeremy Hazelbaker?
It's Stubby Clapp. Stubby Clapp, or not Stubby Clapp.
Bohart.
Bohart. Yeah, those two would be 1A and 1B in the emotional overreaction bracket here. If you want to do the Mount Rushmore of players that the Cardinal fandom has gotten overly excited about based on small samples, those two guys would be the fucking Lincoln and Washington on there.
You know what's funny about it, though, is I am trying to figure out, like, if I'm... So, Jeremy Hazelbaker, actually, okay, which I do think is pretty... So he was an okay player for us.
Yeah.
You know, everybody acts like he was this great player. You know, I mean, he was okay. He wasn't great. I think, you know, he did had a couple of, like, if I'm not mistaken, I think he had a few big home runs or something, because, you know, his average and his OBP sucked. But he did have 12 home runs. But he did have 12 home runs.
Home runs.
Yeah. So
he was a monster pinch hitting.
And then I I think we just released him or something, or didn't sign him, and he went to Arizona. And he went to Arizona, and you know what? He hit really well in Arizona. And then he just disappears into their minor leagues, I guess. And I'm assuming he spent a year trying to hang on with different teams, and then he went overseas. So that's kind of what happened to him, I guess. I mean, he just, you know, made himself a little career out of baseball. But I mean to tell you, when he went to Arizona, I mean, if he got a hit and it was a highlight in a game, I mean, the Cardinal Nation would lose their shit. I just thought it was hysterical when it was going on.
Yeah. And now that takes me down to another alley. And that's just from Jeremy Hazelbaker. My head went to like, okay, what are four guys, and just saying first baseman, who like had a little extra hype than maybe they deserve, that made a major league debut, that we all thought maybe there could be more here. And like, so that would be Joe Mather, Xavier Scruggs. Scruggs is a song by TLC, I believe.
Scruggs is a song by TLC. Don't need no, yeah, Scruggs.
That's right. Nick Stavanoa.
Nick Stavanoa.
Who would be the Lincoln, obviously, and then Mark Hamilton. That would be your Mount Rushmore of, holy cow, these guys were in the organization, made a major league debut, this is our world, Mount Rushmore.
You know, wait a minute. Hang on a second. Did I just remember something here?
Didn't the
Cardinals have another Barton? Derek Barton.
Oh, yeah.
And we traded him.
With Danny Heron for Mark Mulder.
Yes.
Yeah, he was one of their, like, you. I mean, if you want to go into the prospect world, you know, he was supposed to be a catcher who could,
yes,
catch a little bit and
could
break,
hit.
But yeah. But none of those things happened. He ended up playing first base for Oakland, and it wasn't very good, and could get on base a little bit, and it wasn't good. No, it was not good at all.
This is the thing. Yeah, a catcher that can hit. He had 1,744 career at-bats with only 30 homers and a .247 average.
Wonderful. Just wonderful. And then if you want to go down that avenue, the Mount Rushmore of Cardinal quote-unquote catchers that can hit, you have Cody Stanley, Derek Barton, let's see.
Todd Zeal?
Oh, boy.
We're going way back.
Yeah, that's great. In my lifetime, Sean Hill would be on there. Uh-huh. And then who's the other one? Oh, I can't fucking think. Ah, there's another good one in there. Damn it. But yeah, there's four of those.
Carson
guys.
Kelly?
but Carson Kelly was Jeremy Hazelbaker on, well, I don't want to say on steroids. You got to be careful about that.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Yeah, but he was good last year for Arizona.
Hey, same thing as Grichuk. Couldn't have asked for a better place to go.
Yeah.
Like, good luck. You know, like, awesome, good for you. Hey, I said this about Kisner. If Kisner was in a trade for Nolan Arenado, Colorado would love him. Love him.
Oh, God, yeah.
Love him,
yeah.
You know? Then again, I've said that about other catchers that have went there, like Chrissy Anetta. I thought, you know, man, he's going to go there and rate. There's been a couple guys that have went there that I thought, oh, my God, this guy's there now? And I don't know, some reason it didn't work out. But, you know, you think just because you go there, you're going to rake, right? But, interesting stuff, man. Like, I don't know, man. That I knew you'd take an interesting tack there, you know. But
yeah,
see, I didn't have the balls to do it like you did it. You know, I looked at it like, and you know what though, people are going to be mad at me because I'm going to leave off Stan Musial. Okay.
Oh, hey there.
And the reason I'm leaving him off is because I didn't see him play. Listen.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. This is the argument about Stan Musial, and this is really going to, like, some people aren't going to like this. I love Stan Musial because, I mean, not because I have to, but I purely love him because he was a great player that wore a Cardinal uniform and he was ours as fans. And I mean, what do we know of Stan Musial? If really you're younger than me, especially, we know the history of Stan Musial. We didn't see him play. Yeah. Now, we got to experience him as a Hall of Famer for the Cardinals and live with that at the ballpark. And believe me, that's awesome. So, and on that alone, and his reputation as a player and who he was and what he did and the story and all that stuff and the nostalgia and the history that it brings us is enough for me to love the guy. But the truth of the matter is he had no bearing on my love for Cardinal baseball.
Yep.
And listen, that's not blasphemous, although it's going to be for some people. They're going to lose their shit. Okay. Yeah. But I have to look at it and be really honest. And I had to, like, there's so many honorable mentions, right? Because I feel very lucky to have went through what I feel like is stages of Cardinal fandom where, man, they were good for so long. Like believe me, if you lived through the late 80s and early 90s, you felt like that was like walking through a desert for 40 years. But it was only a few years, right, of bad baseball. The truth of the matter is, if I'm being honest, it's got to be Ozzie Smith, because I just remember being young and impressionable and just couldn't believe what I would see in highlights all the time of him. Like, the plays that he made were unbelievable. Yeah. And every one of us as a kid was Ozzie Smith out in the field diving for balls. You know, it was that. Now, the other guy on that, like, I loved Willie McGee. I loved Vince Coleman, but it was Ozzie Smith for me for sure. Now, I loved Jack Clark. Like, I was Jack Clark in the batter's box when I was a kid. But Jack Clark wasn't here long enough, okay? And, you know, he's an honorable mention for me. If it had to be Ozzie Smith, it's definitely Albert Pujols for me. I mean, it's no secret. Everybody's going, oh, no shit, Jim. Okay? So that's a no-brainer. I got to go Yachty. And I got to go Yachty because of a variety of reasons. Number one, forget how good he is and all that kind of stuff, but I mean, the guy, he's ours, right? He's going to go down. He's going to go in the Hall of Fame. He's going to be a career Cardinal. There's a variety of things you can look at in that statement, too, and say, well, they made it pretty easy for him to retire here, but they could have walked away from him. He could have walked away from that. I mean, you know what? He truly loves it here. Like, he really does. That's not a bullshit act. Like, you know, you don't – it's more than just some of the performance. It is the home run in the NLCS. It is the World Series. It is the kicking of the bat when Brandon Phillips tried. It is the jawing at everybody on the other team that ever disrespected. It is when Chris Bryant says we're a bunch of hillbillies, and he says, hey, hang on a minute. It is that for me, 100%. And he's a great player, so that's an easy one. So Pujols, Molina, Ozzie Smith. This is the hard one for me, the fourth one.
It's Todd Zeal, isn't it?
Yeah, God, I hated Todd Zeal. Yeah, it might as well be J.D. Drew. Listen, I'm going to do my honorable mentions. So first off, Mark McGwire, honorable mention, because I mean, he did some really cool things here. You know, the signing here, the getting traded here. And the big deal when he got traded here was that he was going to be a free agent. And I think he was pretty open and honest, like I'm coming there, but I'm not telling you I'm going to stay. And then he stays because let's face it. And he was the fans. That's why he stayed. Right, like he couldn't believe what was going on here, and he stayed. So that made him cool in my book. Obviously, the home runs, unbelievable stuff. I said Willie McGee, I said Jack Clark, you know, all that kind of stuff that went on with that, amazing stuff. This is where it gets hard for me because I love Jim Edmonds. Jim Edmonds is one of my all-time favorite baseball players. It came down between Jim Edmonds and Chris Carpenter. Yeah, and I'm taking the easy way out, and I got to do a half face with Carpenter. In Edmonds, and I know that's a pussy man's way out, but the truth of the matter is I couldn't pick between them. And the reason being is Edmonds' body of work and all the great things that he did here, and I'm a guy that loves flair. Like I love there was occasions where people would say, oh my God, he dove, he shouldn't have, like come on, give me a break. I love the flair, I love the dramatic, I loved the things that people didn't like about him. I loved his nonchalant, blade back California attitude. I loved it, right? Everything about it. I also love the fact that when he came here, he was a little overshadowed by Ken Griffey Jr. coming to the National League. And I still will maintain that while they were both in the National League, Edmonds was the better player. But Chris Carpenter had that middle finger, stick it down your throat. You know, I like that mob mentality, that only the strong survive. I'm going to stand on top of you and there's nothing you can do about it. And if you don't like it, we can go outside and fight about it. Like, I love that, right? And that's who he was. And I've said it once and I'll say it again. This is a guy that fought for everything he had in his career, and it could have went south because of injury. And it did. Like, he wound up not being career-wise what he could have been because of injury. He's not the only one, right? That happens to tons of people. But the truth of the matter is Chris Carpenter gave his right arm to the St. Louis Cardinals in 2011. And for that reason, he gets half a face on my Mount Rushmore. So there you go. There's mine. And, you know, it's probably the same as a lot of people's, but whatever. But that's mine. Now, left off of there, you know, is Bob Gibson. Left off of there is Stan Musial. Left off of there is Rogers Hornsby. You know, like, because they didn't have anything to do with my original, like, that I related to in love with the game. Now, if you want to have an argument on who the four best Cardinals ever are, go ahead and have that argument. That's not mine today. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I love it. I love where your head's at. If you would have forced me to actually do this and take this seriously, I would have put McGuire on my list because, you know, there's an entire generation of fans that are fans still because of Mark McGuire. I will maintain until the day I die that even if Mark McGuire had not been a Cardinal, and say that the Cardinals were on this run, you know, the World Series are World Series, but I believe that Cardinal fandom would not be modern-day Cardinal fandom without Mark McGuire. I don't think baseball fandom would be baseball fandom without Mark McGuire, and I think that needs serious acknowledgement that it doesn't get any more. McGuire definitely would have been on my list, and I like where your head's at. When you started talking, you know, you were talking about Stan Musial, and I think what sometimes gets lost is every Cardinal fan, the vast majority of all Cardinal fans, their introduction to Stan Musial is as a statue. It's not as a person. It's not as a player. It's as a statue. Now, you know, when you're 6 years old at the stadium, you don't understand necessarily the significance of the statue. Like, you can't really feel it or understand it. And I love the way that you articulated, like, what you fall in love with is the experience of being down at the stadium or being at home in your living room and watching the game with your family or absorbing it at the stadium or being in the fan, watching Ozzie dive around, you know, watching Jim Edmonds dive around, watching Jim Edmonds take a pitch, you know, on the black of the inside half and twirl into the right-handed batter's box. Like, I love that. Edgar Renteria diving around like a maniac. Sean Dunstan hitting a walk-off home run where he doesn't have any emotion at all about the excitement while everyone else is losing their mind. We talked about it a couple weeks back. Dimitri Young doing pull-ups in the dugout. Like, I love that. You know, I like where your head's at, and I like the way you did it. I applaud you for it. I really do.
Even though I'm going to get, like, chastised for not de facto putting Stan Musial on my Mount Rushmore? Because you know it's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm excited about that criticism. I can't wait to sit for my apartment and watch that happen and pretend like I'm not there. Yeah, you know, for real, like, if people get, and that's, it's awesome. I love that people are passionate. I get it. I understand it. But, you know, I would remind people that just like the Hall of Fame, Mount Rushmore is basically, it's a monument, which is basically just like a museum carved into the side of a wall. So, you know, don't forget that it's an educational thing where it's just about looking back and enjoying what's come before us.
I can't, I'm not smart enough to have a real conversation about who belongs on the real Mount Rushmore today. Like, if you were to put the four greatest presidents of all time, like, I'm not smart enough for that. And here's the other thing too. I don't even want to have that conversation. I'm so anti-political right now. Like, I don't even want to have that conversation. I'm so wore out with it. But, you know, I think a better conversation, if you really want to sit down and merit, is who's on the Mount Rushmore for baseball. You know, who are the four guys that, I mean, if think about the great history of baseball, what a conversation. And I got to tell you, that's something where I think the fun thing to do there would be to get some guys in a room and do it live and everybody behind them have their thing and reveal it one by one and explain why they think this guy's on there. And because you know why? I would be more interested in the why somebody thinks a player, like, here's the deal. If I'm going to do that, okay, Jackie Robinson's going to go on the Mount Rushmore for me. Now, if you look at his stats and everything, if you go by stats, whatever, is he going to be one of the greatest four players of all time? No. But his impact in baseball, who he was, what he did, along with the fact that he was a good player as well. Okay, like, for instance, Jackie Robinson's going to be on there for me, but Curt Flood is not. Now, Curt Flood had a huge impact on the game of baseball. Okay, but so did Jose Canseco, right? So it takes more than just impacting baseball by something that you did. It's got to be who you are, what you did, like all that. So, like, that conversation to learn about guys, learn their history, learn all this. I mean, I guarantee you, if you put five guys in a room and did a Mount Rushmore baseball, somebody's going to leave off Babe Ruth. At least one person will. And they'll have an excuse for it, right? They'll say, well, he played back before, you know, before, you know, there weren't any African American players in the league. The park for this, it was watered down. They, you know, people make these excuses all the time without having real facts. Somebody will put Josh Gibson on there and say Josh Gibson was never given the opportunity, but according to people that know, and like he was one of the great, like, and that's fine. See, to me, there is no right or wrong answer. I love the conversation. I think it'd be a blast.
Yeah. And like for me, I'd have to have Abner Doubleday on it and three other dudes pretty much like that.
Yeah. How do you not have him on there? Right. How do you not?
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, it's fun. And it, you know, I'm sure the conversation's happening on MLB.com right now.
Oh, of course it is. As soon as they hear us, MLB is going to steal our idea.
There you go.
Well, listen, man, fun stuff today. I know you got to get back at it. I'm going to let you get out of here. Where can our fans listen to you?
You can follow me on Twitter at KYLER416. I write for Birds on the Black. Love that little group. I do a Periscope, I guess, every weekish. I took like a 3-week break from social media for that very reason that you said. Because people are so ignorant of their own biases that they don't realize how dumb they are when they talk about politics on social media, and it just became too much for me. But I'm back. I'm playing around. So we'll probably do Prospects After Dark through Periscope and Twitter. Probably 8 o'clock on Friday night would be my guess. If not, it'll be 8 o'clock on Sunday night, one of the two. And it's a lot of fun, and you should join and have some fun. And I'll give you my Mount Rushmore of lesbian scenes through Sapphic Erotica on YouTube.
Gee, many Christmas. I didn't know we were going there. All right, my friend. Sounds good. I'll talk to you next week.
Take it easy, Jim.
All right, the one, the only, Kyle Reese. Fun stuff. Love chatting baseball with him each and every week. And, of course, happy to have him be a part of these conversations. I'm waiting on Mo's here. And while we are, I'm going to go over to our Patterson Tire and Service text line, a whole lot more than a tire store. They specialize in automotive repair as well as taking care of all brakes and tire issues that you may have for your car. You know, there's great pricing in quantity, folks, and they do a ton of quantity. So you're going to save some money by going to Patterson Tire and Service. You're going to get the best service out there. Take care of our friends located at 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois. You can give them a call at 618-797-6711. Talk to them about what's going on with your car. Get a quick quote. You guys will not be disappointed. That's our good friends at Patterson Tire and Service. A whole lot more in a tire store. I'm going to take a question here while I'm waiting on it. This one's been sitting on here for a while. And it ties in with this a little bit. Jim, I got into an argument the other day on the phone. I got in an argument the other day while on my phone on social media. I don't know why I do this. Please tell me why Rogers Hornsby does not get enough respect from Cardinal fans. Okay. I think some of it is exactly what I just talked about as far as the Mount Rushmore thing, right? Like if you look at Rogers Hornsby and what he did during an era, you would say, oh my God, look how great he was. Like, of course you would, right? Now, there are some things you can look at back then and say, like, his offensive numbers are gaudy, but there were a lot of gaudy offensive numbers back then, right? Like, if you look at it, like, I've done this. Now, was he a great player? He obviously was a great player. But the truth of the matter is, I didn't see Rogers Hornsby play. I have no, like, all I can do is go off historical facts, right? So, if I'm going to base every passionate decision I make based off of somebody else telling me what they think, and I think we've established in this world anyway that stats aren't always as they seem, certain stats. So I, you know, like what do you want me to do? Like what, like you're basing your argument off a piece of paper. I can't do that. Listen, it's easy for me to say that I know Stan Musial was a great baseball player. It's easy for me to say that Rogers Hornsby was obviously a great baseball player because they have historical reference along with numbers to go along with it. And I consider, but I mean, it's hard for me to get passionate about a guy, right, that I never saw play. Now, saying he's a great player is easy to do. Just like I talk about how I think Babe Ruth's the greatest baseball player ever. There's a reason for that, okay? I have my reasons for it. But the bottom line is, you know, Babe Ruth didn't have the impact on me for baseball that Ozzie Smith did. Same thing with Rogers Hornsby, right? Like, I didn't even know who the hell Babe Ruth was until, you know, I mean, like you might hear his name or something, but until you get a little older and then you become curious and you start researching things for yourself and you see who these people are, it's no different than learning history in school. Like, you know, some of it you're forced to learn, and then some of it intrigues you and you're curious and you learn more, and you know, and then you have to pick things the right paper. Same thing here. So I get the whole argument that people want to make for Hornsby getting a lot of attention or not getting enough attention. But I'm just being honest with you. I think most of the time when you go one way or another on it, it's because you poo-poo it because it was so long ago, or you want to raise him up there because he's got these gaudy numbers on a piece of paper. So that's a tough one for me, and I don't know that I'm going to take a side on either one of them. All I know is what I know and what I've seen, and then I try to take educated information based off history and make decisions. You know, now it's probably a little two-sided from me because I give Babe Ruth a lot of the benefit of the doubt, even though I obviously didn't see him play. But the big thing for me with Babe Ruth was, one, he was the first guy to do what he did, and I always think that's kind of cool. Number two, because like to say he's an innovator would be, well, what do you mean he's an innovator? He could do something like just look back at it, right? Like, and again, there might be like there's probably some guy out there that's 80 something years old, 90. And I love talking to those guys that'll say, look, I saw him play. And let me tell you something. If this guy wanted to, he could have hit 60 home runs a year. But this guy at the time was like, well, what do you mean? I'm going to hit 400. And listen, that's a great conversation. And I love that. But the fact remains that he didn't do it. Babe Ruth did do it for whatever the reason. And like I said, I have no idea. I wasn't there. I don't know if 50 other players could have hit 50 home runs while he was hitting them and nobody else was. They just didn't do it. Like I love that conversation. So I don't know what the real answer is there, but it's a fun one. But that's the best thing I can tell you about Rogers Hornsby. So thanks to our friends at Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more in a tire store. All right, let's welcome in everybody's favorite, Mo's Algorithm. Hey, Mo.
Hey, what's going on, Jim?
Well, I gave you some props at the beginning of the show because I loved your reply to my thing when I sent you out about what we were doing, because to me, that's the fun of this thing, right? And as I said earlier in the show, I'm not looking for an argument from anybody. Kyle went where I thought he would go, like complete craziness, right? Now for you, and I told everybody, you asked like all time in our life, whatever it is. And I told you, it's your Mount Rushmore. So I'm curious to know. And I'll tell you real quick, my Mount Rushmore was Albert Pujols, Yadier Molina, Ozzie Smith, and I took the wimps way out, and I have a split face of Jim Edmonds and Chris Carpenter. So that's mine. My honorable mentions were Mark McGwire, Jack Clark were my honorable mentions. If you would like to give me yours and explain the why, and if you have any honorable mentions or want to discuss it, go right ahead.
Okay, I'll start off with the reason I am a baseball fan. The reason I'm a St. Louis Cardinals fan, number one for me is Mark McGwire.
Okay,
so he would be on my Mount Rushmore. Okay, then obviously Albert has to be on there. My favorite player of all time. So, and then I'm going with Chris Carpenter because I don't believe either of the World Series trips or wins, or all four of the trips, and neither of the wins happen without him. So to me, he's the most important pitcher of my lifetime.
Great point. I think we forget about him in 2006. Great point.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, all the attention's been, you know, it's given to Weaver because of what he did, and then Wainwright because of what he did out of the pen, you know, versus Beltran and even against the Tigers. But Carpenter was the anchor during all those years. So, that's why he's so important to me. And my fourth one is a bit of a wild card. Just because it's personal, is Rick Ankiel.
Oh,
his story, like the uniqueness of his story, and then my following of him here in my hometown. So when he went back to being when he came back and wanted to be an outfielder, we have this single A team here in the Quad Cities where it was an affiliate of the Cardinals, and so he played like half the summer here on his journey back to the majors to be a hitter. And so I attended every single game I could of his. I stood out in right field. I have multiple home run balls that he hit here of his, one I fished out of the river. So there's just a personal attachment with his story, the uniqueness, and him being here during that summer on his journey back. So those would be my four for sure. Honorable mentions, I would have to put the other legs of MV3 with Roland and Edmonds because of the affinity I have for the 2004 to 2006 years. They were just so impactful for me as a Cardinals fan. But Yeah, it would be McGuire, Albert, Carpenter, and Rick Ankiel.
Okay, so I'm not going to be the only one. And like, listen, Kyle's going to get away with it because he went a total different route. But I won't be alone then with people calling me a blasphemous for not having Stan Musial on there. And my explanation for not having Musial on there was because he didn't impact me. He was a legend, and I thought Kyle put it great. He was a legend and a statue. Now, I know what he did, and I love the fact that he did it and played for the Cardinals, and he was ours and still is to this day. I love all that, but that didn't make me a Cardinal fan.
No, so and that's when I asked you the question, like the standard answer of like the Mount Rushmore of the Cardinals would be Musial, Pujols, Gibson, and then spin the wheel for the fourth one, right? Like that would be the standard answer.
So I like that. Hang on. Say that again. Musial? So
Musial, Albert, Gibson, and then spin the wheel on the fourth one.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. While I was waiting for you to let me know that you were ready, I took a question on the Patterson Tire and Service text line about why Rogers Hornsby doesn't get enough love, and I answered it the best I could. If you look at Rogers Hornsby's career, why would Rogers Hornsby not be a given on there then based off the rest?
I mean, again, I would put him in that spin the wheel for the fourth then.
Okay.
There's just and that's why I asked you that question. Like, is it like my lifetime or is it like Cardinal franchise history? Because I never watched Stan Musial play. I'm too young. I never watched Bob Gibson play. So like to put them on my personal Mount Rushmore just wouldn't make any sense. I don't know who they are. Like, the only thing I can do is maybe go watch some old videos of what they did. But when it comes to how it impacted my life and me as a fan, the four guys I threw out there were the most important to me.
Okay, so let's finish off the conversation with this because I think this is great. So Stan Musial, for obvious reasons, is on the Cardinal Mount Rushmore if you want to have that other conversation, because I like where you took this. And again, this is not like I'm not standing on a hill to die on this, but mm-hmm. I do find this interesting. So I think for obvious reasons, Stan Musial is on there because he was a career Cardinal, the 3,000, the whole thing, right? Like just the whole mm-hmm. thing. Pujols, one of the greatest players of our generation, and his 11 years here are unmatched.
Yep.
Okay, so hands down. I mean, it's not even close. Okay, I think those two, without fail, are the easy two. Bob Gibson. So in this, so are you saying, and I think this is probably realistic, are you saying that Bob Gibson is the greatest pitcher the Cardinals have ever had? Is that what this says?
As far as I can tell as a fan, yes.
Okay.
Right? Again,
okay.
I didn't get to watch him.
Okay.
But I would put him one and Carpenter two.
Okay. So the Deans, the Dean thing, like it, we're just going to like, I get it. I have no issue with it. I'm just kind of trying to look at this. Okay. So I get that. So I think I would agree with you. So now in the spin the wheel, you can only have so many guys on the spin the wheel. Let's say the spin the wheel's got a few guys. Who are those guys that you're spinning the wheel between?
I mean, you could put Hornsby on there. I think you could put Yachty on there. I think you could put McGuire on there. I struggle with the 80s Cardinals, the Ozzie Smiths. And so I feel like the Whitey Ball Cardinals are the most overrated in franchise history. Like those players are just as overrated as they come. So, like, I personally wouldn't put him on there, but I know most fans would. So you could put Ozzy on there, so maybe those four. But I just I don't find that period of Cardinal baseball to be entertaining at all or even interesting. So most Whitey Ball fans are going to kill me on Twitter. They've done it before. That's a generation of fans that I've struggled to connect with. And I can't. Like, it's just a little league style of boring baseball that I just can't get around. So I just find those players.
You know what's interesting about that?
A bit overrated.
You know what's interesting about that? I lived through it every day mm-hmm. and loved it, and it wasn't boring. See, that's the interesting thing. Like, I was a kid. I mean, I wasn't like six, but I was, when that started, what was I? 10? I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's the thing. You would think that would be boring, but it wasn't. Like,
that's what you knew, though.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, what I know, I was 10 years old when McGuire did what he did in 98. So, like, I just have a different view of what makes baseball fun.
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
So when I look back at guys slapping singles and diving for balls in the outfield, like, that just doesn't do it for me.
That's interesting.
The way that a guy like McGuire or Albert or Edmonds, so my fandom started with McGuire and then worked its way through the MV3 era. It's a different type and style of baseball that I grew up with. And so I just don't find it all that interesting.
Good stuff, man. Okay. I will say this. This is a great topic, man. And I know fans are going to love this because they're going to want to give their four. Don't be right or wrong here. Just have some fun with it. If somebody's got a guy on there, let them make their piece. Let them make their case and live with it. Because there is no right or wrong here. If you're one of these guys that, like, this is the Mount Rushmore, and if you don't believe it, you're an idiot, then don't even answer. Okay? Just have some fun with it, because it is going to – I'm curious to see the response we get. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, because in terms of, like, accolades, of course a guy like Rick Ankiel would not be on any sort of Mount Rushmore. But for me personally, and, like, what I view my fandom as a Cardinal, he has to be, because of just the way his story was so unique as Cardinal fans, and how he did what he did to completely fall apart as a pitcher and come back as a successful major league hitter. And then, like I said, the roots of having his journey come through my home area. So that's, again, accolades wise, no, he doesn't belong with guys like Albert and Musial, but in terms of what the impact he had on me as a fan, he definitely does.
That's awesome. All right, man. Well, I appreciate it. And I want to thank all of our fans for joining us. Hope you guys enjoyed this conversation. And I encourage all of you to give us your Mount Rushmore. And if you can go into great detail, you can just give us our four, whatever you want to do. But it's a lot of fun. This conversation will never get old because it's ever changing. You could put different criteria on it, as Mo's mentioned to me in his text. I've always thought one of the funnest things would be who would be the Mount Rushmore for all of baseball in the history of the game. What a great conversation that would be live to listen to people debate and talk about it, both fun and educatedly. But it's a great topic. Have fun with it. I mean, what else are we going to do? Are we just going to keep replaying old games, or are we going to have some conversations where it takes a little bit of thought and maybe a little bit of compassion? So have some fun with it, you guys. Who's your Cardinal Mount Rushmore? Thanks for joining us here, twobirdsonabat.com, asking you to click subscribe to the podcast. Find us on social media at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter, Two Birds on a Bat on Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat Show on Instagram. Also at lineupmediagroup.fm, home of your radio streaming platform for your mobile device. Special thanks to innovativecompanies.com, my good friend Randy Green, residential, commercial, industrial. He's got you covered. As always, we come to you from the patio studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. Special thanks goes out to Adam Smokehouse. They'll be open soon, folks, and when they do, we want you there having some of that great barbecue. That's Adam Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. To the Gators Baseball Academy, learn more at GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Their four-pillar system is second to none. And, of course, my good friend Dr. Kristen Jacobs. Learn more at DrKristenJacobs.com as she reminds you every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day. For all of us here at Two Birds on a Bat, especially the group with bow ties and bullshit, let's go Birds!